has it recorded differently than all the other Gospels, the calling of the disciples. And so in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 21, Jesus calls Simon Peter, then Andrew, then James, then John. And in Mark 1, 16 to 20, he calls Simon, Andrew, James, and John. And in Luke, it's the same thing. It's Simon, Peter, James, and John. And in John's Gospel, it's interesting because the way that he calls people in this is different than all the other Gospels. All the other Gospels have a pattern and it all comes. But John's is an interesting Gospel because, again, he's looking at it from a different dimension than what the other accounts of the Gospels of Christ are, you know. The others are all pretty much physical, what Jesus was doing in the world and what the physical things were happening. But in John's Gospel, it's like he's coming from a different direction. You know, it's still pointing to the same God. The same truths are being told. The same acts are being showed. A lot of the same things. It's just in a completely different direction that he's coming at this this epistle, this writing, this historical understanding of the way that God's working in people's lives and the way that the Lord calls them. And so, if we back up just a little bit, John chapter 1 and verse 32, because he's talking about John bore witness, saying, now this is John the Baptizer, not John the Apostle. John the Baptizer, I added that there, John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and I bore record, that this is the Son of God. Now, so in get yourself in this mindset here, kind of catch the picture. John the Baptizer is baptizing folks in the Jordan. He's lots of people coming, and then Jesus comes, and he says, this is the Son of God coming, and then when he baptizes him, some supernatural things happen. No telling how many thousands of people that he had baptized, or hundreds of people for sure, that he had baptized in the Jordan. But this one here was different. This baptism, when Jesus got baptized, it was different than any other baptism that has ever been or ever will be. Because this one that was baptized was indeed God manifested in flesh. And John, with a proper relationship with the Lord, said, listen, God was talking to him, the Father was talking to him, said, listen, there's going to be one that I'm going to send to you, and when you baptize him, something's going to blow your mind. This is going to be different than you've ever seen before. And as we look at the accounts of John's baptism of Jesus, we know that he baptized him, and then the Spirit descended like a dove, and there's a voice from heaven, and all those things we understand. Now, when John was baptizing, he had his disciples with him. There was a group of the people learning from John. Remember John's message, the baptizer? Anyone here know what it was? Repent! Repent! For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent! Get ready because something brand new is going to happen. You need to have your eyes open, need to have your heart prepared because God's about ready to do something brand new. Okay, people, God's about ready to do something again. All right, we are on the precipice right here. Now, we're not going to see Jesus baptized. We ain't going to see that thing because that was once and done, right? But every time God gets ready to do something that's about ready to change the world, he prepares a people for that. John was preparing to make the way of Christ straight. Now, John had, like I was saying, had his disciples that would hang out with him. They were all feasting on grasshoppers and honey. They're living in the desert. They were doing the things that desert dwellers do. We think that as an odd thing, but I guess, you know, anyhow, I'm not going to go there. Because there's a lot of foods that you might think odd to eat, you know? And
there may come a time you don't think it's
odd. Yeah, absolutely. Well, there may come a time real soon that gopher looks pretty fun and it looks tasty. A little ketchup on him, man. So gopher and tomato sauce.
Go for dinner.
Go for dinner.
And so
John was about ready to, and so John is bearing record. He's saying, I saw this. I saw the Spirit descend on Jesus. And remember, he said that not too many days from hence that I baptize with water, but there is one that comes that his latchet of his shoes I'm not able to unlatch, and he shall baptize you with a different baptism, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, that was John's record that he bore. Verse 35 says, and then the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speaking, and they followed Jesus. Now, they were prepared to follow John all the way to death. But when John said, look, there's somebody better here. There's somebody coming. This is the one that I've been telling you guys all about. Now he's here. And these two disciples, it struck their heart in such a way that they followed Christ. Now, in the other Gospels, it talks about, you know, Peter was casting his net, and Jesus walked by the sea, and he told them to come. And they came. They dropped their nets and came immediately. But here, it's in a different context. There's a different thing happening. And I haven't been able to really settle out why it's that way. And I guess it really doesn't matter why it's that way. I don't know why the other Gospels. Let's just flip over to one real quick just to do it. Let's do Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And oh, I'm in 5. That's why I was looking so weird. 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from hence, he saw two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship of Zebedee, his father, mending their nets. And he called to them, and immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and manner of disease. So here you have, I don't know if these two guys started following Jesus before he found Peter, because this was sometime after he had been baptized. It was before Peter and them had met Christ. So John was telling these two guys, and we'll see that one's Andrew, and then there's just another fellow that's with him. And so here in the next, again the next day, he said, behold, the two of John's disciples, I'm back in John now, and two disciples heard him speak. Because I could read all three of the gospel accounts, but they're all pretty much the same, except for John's. John's is the only one that's different. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, well, what ye seek. Now remember, these are the two of John the Baptizer's disciples. And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, interpreted master, or teacher, depending on which Bible you have, but master's a better word. Where dwellest thou? And he said, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now it's interesting that these two guys that came up out of John the Baptizer's teachings didn't ask Jesus much about anything. They just said, where are you living? Where are you camping at? John told us who you are. I want to learn more about you. And so they followed Jesus to wherever it was, where he was living, where he was staying. And they spent time with him. They spent time with him that night. And then in verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. Sorry, I called his name wrong a little while ago. No, I did not. I said Andrew. And so Andrew, and it's Simon Peter's brother. So Andrew was following Jesus before Simon Peter was. But when you read the other account of the gospel, it says that Jesus was walking by the Galilee and he saw Peter. And he told him to follow him, and Peter followed him. I don't understand. Does, can anyone help me there? Okay, I mean, or is it just something that doesn't matter? I mean, there's a difference in it, so it must matter. And I did a lot of time today banging my head on the table and trying to figure out this thing. I couldn't wrap my mind around it.
Yeah. They're seeing it. The Gospels are seeing it from a different angle.
Yeah.
And it's, and you're, so, and it's the narrative on that particular apostle, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you got these individuals. So you have, it's not like a carbon copy of one or the other.
Yeah. You know? But it had to happen in a particular, and I don't even know if I'm splitting hairs, it really doesn't matter. You know?
The other thing I was thinking is that if Jesus was teaching, was talking, was preaching, didn't mm-hmm. that occur after he was baptized? Did he preach before his baptism?
Mm.
Is what came to my mind. Is I thought that that's when he started preaching.
Well, actually his first miracle was in chapter 2. And I don't know if he was preaching or
That was like, it's not my time.
Well, right, yes, right.
His mother. It's not my time.
Yes, not my time.
I don't know.
I don't know if he was preaching to the two that followed him or if they were just hanging out and talking. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that they wanted to see where he lived because John said, that's the account that John said. And then in Matthew and Mark and Luke, it says that Jesus walking by himself, Peter, and his net, and Andrew, and his brothers cleaning nets, you know, or Zebedee and John cleaning nets. Go ahead.
So I think it's the difference between them following him and them being called.
Amen. There's a good point right there. See, that's why I like doing this way. You know, because there's a big difference between you deciding to follow somebody because you heard something neat about them or Jesus calling you. You know?
That is a study. That is a study of the Gospels.
And, yeah.
It's a study. I mean, it's an actual. They do come into harmony.
Yeah.
They go into harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think both aspects take place in. But when Jesus asks the disciples who they say that I am,
mm-hmm.
when he sets forth the foundation of which he'll build his church upon, he says, the Father has elected you,
right.
But I have chosen you.
Right.
Both things take place, and I think maybe in the physical sense, the first three Gospels see the election.
Right.
Whereas John's Gospel sees the calling.
Right.
So it says very clearly when he speaks to Peter, mm-hmm. he first we can go to that. It's in Matthew, I think, is the best. Was it Matthew 6 or something?
The calling of Peter is Matthew 4.
4?
Yeah.
18. Yeah, when you look at that, 4, I'm sorry. When he asks who they say that I am.
Okay, yes. After the 70 come back?
Yeah.
And who do men say that I am?
Yeah. I'm trying to find it.
But I know what you're talking about. So.
But he very carefully calls him by his worldly name.
Mm-hmm.
And his election by God under his worldly name, under his physical sense, and then he calls him by his spiritual name and chooses him. He says, this is the foundation by which I will build my church.
Right.
The Father will elect those that are given to me, but I will choose from them which ones will follow.
Right.
And I think that's what maybe you're looking at there, because John always comes in from the spiritual side.
Yes.
You know, his gospel is from the spiritual understanding.
Right.
So it's curious because he said they heard him speak.
Right.
That goes beyond just hearing him. Because some hear without hearing, some hear and truly hear.
Right.
I think that's more the understanding mm-hmm. there. They actually heard that calling
right.
being made when he says they heard him speak.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's a difference between you hear your wife and you really hear your wife.
Right.
Right. Go ahead, Lance.
So is it saying that Andrew brought Peter to Jesus?
You know,
that's what it's saying.
That's what it says. But in the other Gospels, it says, well, there's I think what was pointed out is really important, because remember, Andrew was a disciple of John, and he was just following Jesus because John said something about him. So the call of Andrew by Christ hadn't happened yet. Andrew just came because he was curious. And then he comes back later and he tells Peter, hey, Peter, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ.
Yeah.
All right? And then the call happens. So something in Andrew's life, go ahead, Deb.
Wasn't John the one that was there, though? Like
John the Baptizer?
And John. It could be him, right? He could be the other guy.
Oh, yeah, he could be the other,
And Matthew and Mark and Luke aren't there. They're not eyewitnesses.
Right. To the ministry of John the Baptizer. Right.
John always refers to himself in third person, too.
Yes, he does.
He never says himself. He says a disciple that Jesus loved or something.
Right, or the one who sat and put his head on his breast, all that.
He never felt worthy to call his own name out.
Yeah.
That was in that teaching was in Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter, now that's both of his names, that's his the name that Christ had given him, the name that he wrote upon him, and his worldly name, answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, blessed are thou, Simon, Bar Jonah, which is to say, Simon, son of Jonah.
Yeah.
Jonah was his father. He calls him strictly by his worldly name.
Yeah.
For flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That was his election.
Right.
While we're in the flesh, the Father elects who he elects.
Yeah.
For his good purpose.
For his whatever reason he does,
And then Jesus answers, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter.
Right.
He just put his name upon him. He called him. He chose him at that point. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Right.
He's saying that election, calling, together is the foundation by which you will be brought into the body. That's what one understanding.
Yeah.
That's my understanding.
Yeah, that's a good one. Go ahead.
So Jesus called Peter Cephas.
Cephas. Which means stone. Yeah.
And then in the Bible, it's still Peter.
Yeah.
It's two different dialects.
Yeah.
Cephas, it's like a Greek name.
Because Peter means stone.
Yes.
No, so does Cephas.
It's a different language name, I think.
What I've
studied.
Go ahead.
They both mean stone. They both are interpreted as stone.
Stone. Or pebble. Rock. What you got, Di? I thought you had something. I saw it like it was like right there. Okay, so we'll go on and and so verse 40 of back in John chapter 1. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found Messiah, that is, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now see, he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpreted as stone. Now, are they talking about two different days here? All right? I can see this. All right? Jesus walking along, right? John says, that's the Son of the living God. And he's, we'll just say John and Andrew come out. They follow him, take him to his house. They sit down. They break bread together, right? Because it's the 10th hour dinner time. All right? They stay the night, whatever. It doesn't say they stay the night. But then the next morning, Andrew says, hey, I got to go. Spent time with this guy. I think he's the Messiah. So he goes and he says, hey, Peter, I got this guy that you got to meet. Right? Come and see him. His name's Jesus. I think he's the Christ. So Andrew brings Peter to Jesus, and Jesus talks to Peter and says, I'm going to change your name. You're going to be called Cephas. Right? All right? So you get the... But neither of them are called yet. They're just introduced. I'm pretty sure if you put this in order, it would have to be the next day or the following day after the introduction of Peter and Jesus. That Jesus, another day, was walking by the sea, and he saw Peter. He saw Peter casting the net. He saw him doing the thing. He said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. That's what tells us in Mark. He saw Peter and Philip doing their thing. And so I think we're seeing the same account at a different day. In my mind, you know, because we know in the other three Gospels, Peter's clearly at the seashore doing fishing stuff, right? That's where he's at. Here in John's Gospel, you see Andrew bringing Peter to Jesus. You don't hear anything about the sea.
So that would have had to have been after, if he stopped doing everything and followed him, that would have had to have been an event that happened
a little bit later. Yeah.
Right, and he was already introduced to Jesus.
Yeah.
So Jesus came by, he's like, I'm going to make you fishermen of men.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm not trying to add to the Bible or nothing like that. I'm just trying to unwind it in my mind.
There's just a lot not said.
Yeah, a lot not said.
You really have to understand, there's a lot not said. And
yeah.
We tend to assume.
Yeah.
We tend to put, And there's just too much not said.
Right.
It doesn't say they weren't by the seashore when that happened. It doesn't say.
Right, but it doesn't say they were.
Right.
You
I think sometimes we have to.
And well, the difference is one.
We know it's true.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Both accounts have got to be the correct account.
Right.
All right. So, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is walking by the sea. He sees the guys. He calls them. And John, Andrew, and John the Apostle, we'll call him, were with John the Baptizer. And John the Baptizer says, this is the Messiah, the Son of God. And they follow him to his house. And then says that Andrew went and got his brother Peter. And Jesus talked to Peter and said, Peter, your name's going to be called Cephas. All right? So how do you make those coincide, my brother?
Is there any time frame on how old Jesus is?
Oh, how old he is?
I mean, it would have happened in the same year, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, it would have to happen within...
And it, there really is...
We know that his ministry was 3 years.
It just says he first find it.
Right.
Verse 41.
I think he was about 30.
Yeah. At this time, because he passed away, he was on the cross at 33.
But it makes sense, though. It's like, if he's already talked to him... It would make no sense if they drop everything and follow me if there was no introduction.
Right.
To begin with.
Well, you know, and in that other account, there's sons of Zebedee. It doesn't. Well, one of them would have been John. So the icebreaker.
That there's a difference between called and
they
walked with him. They knew where he lived. They knew of him. But then they were called.
It
seems like that.
That's where my mind was all this afternoon as I was going through these accounts and reading them over and over and over and looking at it, because I saw the differences in them. And I said, well, the only way that I, in my finite mind, all right, this is not super smart, Curtis, because I am not that guy. The only way that I could see it locking together is that one day Andrew and John met him. Right? Stayed the night. The next day they went to work. Right? They went to the sons of Zebedee. They had a fishing job. They had to go to work. So Andrew and Peter's working all day. And hey, I've met this guy. Jesus, man, you ought to come see him. All right? And then after they got off work, he went and he introduced him to Jesus. And Jesus says, Peter, you're going to be called Cephas. You're going to be the rock. All right? You're the anchor here. All right? Go ahead, sis.
We're talking about several days here.
Yes.
And, verse 28.
Uh-huh.
And verse 29.
Oh, John.
Day.
Right. Yes.
And then, 35. Again, the next day.
There you go.
And then you go on down further, verse 43, the day follows. So this
there
is
you
going
go.
Over a period of time.
Right.
In a,
like in a week's time.
Area.
Yeah.
Is it possible that part of this, that the first day, he's just a small group just saying, okay, this is you here, everything fine. The next day, he's more or less announcing it to the whole gang?
Yeah, well, he's calling his students. He's already introduced himself. They've already talked to him a little bit. They're seeing that there's something really different about Jesus, right? That there's something about him that something that draws them to him. But we know from Scripture that there's nothing comely about him that we can be drawn to him. They're not going because he's charismatic. He must have shown them something. Now, when you meet God, does he not show you the truth about yourself and make you see him for who he is? That's how God calls us all. Right? And whether you be fishing in a net or whether you be following him from the creekside. He sees you where you are. Well, Moses in the burning bush, right? Moses was doing his job, hauling sheep, and he saw something that got his attention. A bush that was burning, not consumed. So he went to check it out, and then God spoke to him out of the bush. Andrew and John saw something. Andrew, the brother of Peter, and John the apostle saw something because they were following John the baptizer. And they heard their teacher saying that this is the Son of God. And they went and they hang out with him for the day. And the following day, right, they went to the thing. And the following day, he calls them out. So this isn't like, it's like over a week's time. We got four times it says in the following day. So we're looking from Monday or Sunday, probably the first day of the week, because we know nothing will be happening on the Sabbath. So it have to happen in that type of a order, my brother.
You still had human brains, and it's like you don't just drop everything, you know, and pursue another course without some reflection. And
yes.
Time. So,
and when you read these other accounts of what happened, because it's drastic. John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, were working with their dad. All right. And they were mending their nets. In one of the accounts of the gospel, they were mending the nets, and Jesus said, follow me. And they left their dad mending the net, and they followed Jesus. Now, if you were the dad of those two boys, right, and all of a sudden both your boys get up and simultaneously follow this guy and leave you mending the net by your, well, you and your the rest of the crew, they're mending the nets. I don't know. When I read Scripture, I don't know. I kind of get there. You know, I could imagine. Here I am with my sons. We're bending the net, right? So on. Thinking, oh, look at that chair. That must have been a big. Where are you guys going? Wait, come back! You got to finish the net. But they left. Yeah.
Is it possible we're kind of losing something in translation? Because we don't speak Roman or Greek or Aramaic or whatever?
No, the King James Bible is a perfect translation of the Word of God. Right? So if there's something we're not understanding, we're not looking at it correctly. You know? And I think what Judy pointed out is really important. The following day, the following day, the following day. Right? Because those days, that time point was put in there on purpose. So we would dig. And if you look at all four of them, and three of them are one of these things just doesn't belong here, one of these things are kind of the same, right? So one of these Gospels, they don't exactly line up, because in my mind when I was going through it today, I was thinking it all happened today. Now I read it, and I read the following day, the following day, the following day, but see, I need the Holy Ghost in you to point it out to me, and I need the Holy Ghost in you to say that this is a different aspect of it. You know, that's why we're the church. All right? That's go ahead, sister.
So one of the things last year that the Lord showed me was, and then 2 Corinthians 13, it says, every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And what the Lord showed to me, and this is just what he showed to me, but maybe it might help you guys a little bit, was that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the two or three witnesses. John is the confirmation
right.
of those.
Of those, yeah.
Because it's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
But it, he was
yeah, some of the accounts are the same, but it's completely
yeah.
different.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Go ahead, Lance.
We have a gut instinct, like, you know what I mean, that is primal, it's in us. So
right.
I mean, for them to see the, you know, the Son of God and hear him speak, then there must be something else there.
Well, the interesting thing, a lot of people heard him speak, but it only stirred up certain people.
But when he is drawing you, you are compelled.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. There you go.
You are compelled.
You're compelled.
He would have the ultimate truth. So,
yeah.
And they would see that. And
mm-hmm.
that would be different from anything else. So
right.
that would be a strong draw.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. And that's a good thought. And so coming back to verse 43 in 1 John. The following day, Jesus would go forth to Galilee, and that's where we know that they were fishing, right? And findeth Philip, and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. And there you're having the same pattern again. Andrew, come see to his brother Peter. Philip, come see to Nathanael. Right? And this is an interesting account here, and it's not recorded in the other Gospels. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming unto him and said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile, there's no deceitfulness. Now, has anybody ever come up to you and said, you're just an honest person? I said, you're lying. No. And that's really what Jesus had said to him. Now, Philip and Nathanael must have been pretty close friends, right? Because it's all about relationships. And John here is showing the relationship, how it was built between individuals, how we're supposed to witness to people, how we're supposed to tell folks about Christ. Come and see. Come and see. Come on, meet this guy. He's going to blow you away. I believe he's the Messiah. All right, come and go ahead, Rob.
Thinking back to Genesis,
mm-hmm.
when the Lord makes man, he says he made man on the sixth day.
Yeah.
Done. And then we jump into the next chapter, and then he restructures
mm-hmm.
the actual making of man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
He sets about the actual orchestration of it.
Yeah.
That may be the same thing we're seeing here. The gospel set forth just the generalization, he
right.
called them. And then John got in and he put the nuts and bolts.
There you
he's
go.
Laying out the nuts and bolts to it.
Yeah.
It was, it which is done by, because it is doubled twice unto them, this, you know, was established by God.
Right.
That understanding that he'll double it.
Mm-hmm.
In the second time, okay. Not saying I'm not going to box God up,
yeah.
but he's showing us in his pattern in Genesis that he will find, expressly explain how he
mm-hmm.
does it the second time, when the first time is just a generalization.
Right, yeah.
And then the days, the extra days, you know, the actual structure of the days come in, the idea of the testimony or the confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes together that way. I think
yeah.
that each one of us are seeing a piece of that.
Right. And this is the beautiful thing about the body of Christ. You know? Because I've taught this and just read through it so many times. I did not want to do that tonight. I didn't want to just read through it and say, this is the account. So I purposely took time and I unraveled or dissected all four of the Gospels, and read through them and compared them and put them side by side. And this afternoon I had four Bibles on my desk, one in Matthew, one in Mark, one in Luke, one in John, you know, and looking at every little footprint and the way that it went, and trying in my little bitty head to see where the gears fit, you know. And I suggest when we read the Gospels, we need to do that. You don't read just Matthew. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And you try to keep, because when you do that, you're going to get a more complete picture because you're having it from four different viewpoints, the same thing from four different viewpoints. And there's some things that people see that the other people didn't, the Holy Spirit didn't move on them to record it. Not that they weren't there for it, but they did, just didn't record it. And so, anyhow, and Nathaniel, he knew that he had never laid eyes on Jesus before. And he said in verse 48, Nathaniel said to Jesus, "Whence knowest thou me?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under a fig tree, I saw thee." So you think about this. Now, the thing about the chosen, I don't know if you all have watched that a little bit, but it put a picture of this in my mind. All right, Nathaniel, for whatever reason, he was under a fig tree and he was talking to God, he was praying. And it doesn't say that here, but in that production, it gave an ideal, you know. So we know that Nathaniel was under a fig tree, nobody else was around him, but Jesus knew that he was there and that he was praying. So, go ahead, Nick.
Is this the same John?
Yeah.
So he refers to himself in third person?
Yes. John the Apostle always speaks to himself as the third person. Yeah. He's just like a computer geek nowadays.
Quirky.
Quirky, just a little quirky.
That's humble.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is
humble.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. I love my wife. She says, "Stop it. Whoa, man. Whoa, man."
Not like any idea. You got no.
Yeah. And so he said, "Where do you know me?" And he answered, "When you were under the tree." And then Nathaniel answered and said, "Call him teacher, rabbi, master, immediately." And he says, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Now, it had to be earth-shaking for Nathanael. Whatever he was doing under the tree, whatever was happening there, to know that this person that you've never met knew that you were under that fig tree and that you were having a crisis of belief at that time. Something was going on in Nathanael's life. And the chosen put this ideal in my head, you know, that he has some things that happened in his personal life. And he was really testing God. He was losing his faith. He wasn't understanding the things that were going on. He was crying out to the Lord. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, "I saw you." And in the flicker on the TV thing, right, you see his struggle that he was having about who God is and who he is. Now, that's not Bible, all right? That's a movie. That's somebody else's imagination. I don't think it's bad to use your imagination as long as you know it ain't Bible. What we do know is that Nathaniel was under a fig tree, and he was shocked to know that anybody else thought of him at all. And then when Jesus said, "I saw you, before Philip called you and told you to come here, I saw you and I know what you were doing. I know what you were at. I understand where your heart was." And obviously, Nathanael's heart was in a place of seeking because immediately he says, "Thou art the Son of God."
That makes perfect sense. I've always wondered about that. He just said he saw him under a tree and that kind of makes...
Yeah, yes, there's something significant happened to Nathaniel personally as a human being. He had to be under some kind of stress.
Isn't that what happened to us?
Amen, yes.
That's why I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, because so many times, they make up something, you know, that... Like,
yeah, that it's made up,
And he didn't. But when he was in despair under the tree, how often would someone
saw Jesus when they're in despair. You know,
how often does Jesus find you
right.
in the midst of your despair?
Right.
Right. In the midst of your hurting, in the midst of your confusion. Nobody else is there. You're crying out to God. Right? And then the next day, God says, I caught every tear. I heard every word. I understand exactly where you were, when you were, and the emotions that you were feeling. I saw you alone on your bed crying. I saw you weeping for your children. I saw you. How, what comfort that is. You know, I love this particular account with Nathaniel here because it lets you know that God is real. He is real. He didn't have to be right beside you to hear you. He's always with you.
There's a good and Jesus saying, "I saw you under the fig tree."
Yeah.
Knowing that the scriptures say that the spirit of Jesus is prophecy. Your prophecy is the spirit of Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it says over in Corinthians in 14:24, but if all prophesy, there come in one that believeth not, but one unlearned. He is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth.
Right.
Paul saying to us at that time, the prophecy is the greatest of the gifts. Understanding that in our building of the body, of our seeking of the body, that the ability to prophesy, to speak to somebody, something that they would only know,
mm-hmm.
shows God in us. That's what it's saying here, I
yeah.
believe. And by that, they find belief. They find God in that belief.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful tool that Paul is telling us is used to bring witness to someone, Nathaniel.
Right.
He's in that state. He doesn't really know. He knows he needs something. And all of a sudden, he sees God in
yeah.
Jesus. Now, it was just a man to him at the time,
right, yeah.
even though we know the better now.
Mm-hmm.
But when he saw God in him by the speaking of prophecy, yeah. how powerful was that?
Right.
It's a desire everyone's heart should be set upon.
Yeah.
You know, one of those little tools, you know, one of those little things to look forward to. To the building, to the edifying, to the building of the body
mm-hmm.
and the edifying of it.
Right. Absolutely. And God uses those things. And here's an example of it. And then Jesus answered Nathanael, "Because I say unto thee, I saw you under a fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angel of God and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Can you put yourself in that place? Just for a little bit. You know, you're talking with this guy for the first time. He said, "If you'll walk with me, if you'll walk with me." Let me ask you this. When you got saved, when you trusted Jesus Christ, what were you anticipating to see? Most of us got saved because I want to see the gates of glory, right? I want to see all this. How about every day how the angelic world works around you? Every day we have the opportunity to see angelic work around us on every side. Adrian, today, right? It's not my favorite person in the world. But, you know, got a chance to work around her, listen to her a little bit, praise God, you know? You got the chance to see angels ministering, working, listening. You know, listening's a part of that. And you see how God opens up your heart. You see how God works around you. And you see the supernatural happening every single day. And you say, "How do you see that?" Well, saw a chipmunk running on a thing, right? That's a neat thing. I saw this weird growth on a leaf today that just blew my mind. It's I don't know what it is. It's just little red bumps on the maple leaf in the back over there. And it's like a million of them. And, you know, it's just, dude, that's cool. They're hollow. I don't know what they are. They're different. But it's something God made. It's just interesting.
I remember when I got saved, I had read the trilogy, and I always liked that. And I remember when I got saved thinking that there's a whole kingdom.
Yeah.
I remember thinking the word kingdom.
Yeah.
There's a whole kingdom, but this one's real.
Yeah. Thank you.
I remember thinking this. It was like my eyes were open.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking of this word, and I hadn't read a word of the Bible.
Right.
We didn't have a Bible. But I remember thinking, it's like a whole kingdom is opened up, but this one is true.
Right.
This one is real. It was.
And see? Yeah. You,
yeah.
We may not absolutely, we don't see like, angelic hosts falling down. But having your mind opened up, the illuminating of the Spirit of God, being woke up out of your sleep, right? Knowing that there is a deeper reality than this life. And there's more than what we see, my brother.
God allows us to see that.
Yeah.
It's something that He can take away as well. Like,
yeah.
We don't have...
Oh, if we harden our heart to it,
We won't be receptive to that.
Yeah.
But it is supernatural to even be able to experience that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is something that He gives us.
Right. And well, we're about to see some interesting things in the account of John next week. He's going to do the water into wine. Well, that's after 8. He's already? Yeah, I know. Folks, I love you. Who wants to close in prayer? Man, woman, child, it don't matter.
Heavenly Father, Father, we do thank You, Lord, that You've gathered us here this evening, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the faithfulness, Lord, of this family, Lord, and how You have brought us together and how You are raising us wonderfully as Your children, Lord. But also knowing, Lord, that one day You will have us in a mature state, a state where, Lord, we will be accounted as a body of bride for Your Son. And we look forward to that. We thank You, Lord, for the situations that You opened our eyes up to, Lord, with our family members, our friends, those whom are around us, who we work with, Lord, when we see them troubled, when we see them reversed, Lord, that we raise them up in prayer. Lord, You are changing our hearts. You're softening our hearts. We thank You for that. We thank You for giving us a heart of compassion, Lord, towards these people. We thank You for the opportunity to pray for them, to seek Your goodwill for them, Lord. With the ever hope, with the ever looking hope, Lord, that they would become part of the body, a good functioning, working part of the body, and that this body would be prepared beautifully and wonderfully for You, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that You would keep our eyes fixed on You, that we wouldn't attach ourselves to wisdoms that would carry us away, to thinking that we can know each and every path, but we would just follow what You would set before us each and every day, Lord. Mm-hmm. Let us take the manna of the day, let us consume it, and let us seek it out again in Your morning mercies.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, that path has not changed, and we just ask You to help us keep a pure and clean mind, Lord, to seek You for who You are, not what we may make You in our minds. We ask You, Lord, for Your safety and over our travels as we travel home tonight, Lord. Take us back to our families, Lord, and help us to spread in those families, in our relationships, and our places of work, Lord, Your love.
Mm-hmm.
Make us bright and shining lights, Lord. Help us with that. We just thank You, Lord. We love You. And as we come up soon to our pastors and wife's vacation, we ask Your hand of blessing upon them, Lord. And we ask that even in their relaxation a bit, that You would use them mightily. We thank You for them. We love them. And we love You, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.